I assume it's
going to be, he's going to tell us how he's going to finish strong, what his plans for the final quarter are now, final quarter.
That was awesome.
Of his life. Quick announcement here. If a few of us could hang back after we're done with our session to help take the trash outside, it would be very helpful.
There's done that already.
Oh, you already did it?
We're on top of it.
Okay.
You are so far behind.
That is so big. I need to know these things.
Make sure you grab all your stuff out of your room.
Chargers, you know, the things that we leave, put clothes up for.
Make sure your bed sticks.
Right. I don't know how they tuck it on those bunk beds. On the backside.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
There's
one other thing.
Let's go. All right. So, Craig, are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Well, guys, it's great being with you. Thanks for allowing me to speak about my life today. I kind of went through the first three quarters, and if it was the final quarter, it only lasts till when I was 80. So, I don't know that it's the final quarter, but it's the last part of my life, and like I said, I'm 68 years old, and so I'm just really beginning this phase of my life. But just a couple things that came to my mind as I thought about where I'm at right now. Last year, I was listening to there's a golf ministry called Lynx Golf, L-I-N-K-S. We have the club I'm a member of, they have a meeting every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8:30. And last year, a guy that I know that's an outstanding senior player that lives in Dallas, like me, his name is Hollis Sullivan, and he was a guest on this 6 or 7 minute interview. And last year, there's four major golf championships, and the last one of the year is the Open Championship. And last year it was in Ireland at a place called Royal County Down. And so this guy that was interviewing Hollis, who I know and I've played golf with a couple times, he said, "Well, Hollis," he said, "if I recall, you played Royal County Down earlier this year, and you know they were having the Open Championship in a few months," and Hollis said yes, and the guy said, "Well, if I recall, you shot even par that day you played Royal County Down," and Hollis said, he said, "Yes," he said, "the Lord's favor was on me that day," and that really struck me, you know, when he said that, you know. And I started thinking about my life and what I have traditionally done concerning the Lord's favor. It was on days where I shot even par at a tough course, or I got a nice order, or something great happened with my kids. But I began to realize that God's favor has been on my life my whole life. You know, I mentioned to you about when I got Angela pregnant. You know, I was planning, in my mind, I was planning to move to California. And as I look back, getting Angela pregnant was really God's favor in my life, because if I would have moved to California, would I have come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? I wouldn't have my kids. I wouldn't know you guys. And so as I sit back and realize where I'm at right now, I just kind of realize that for me, I feel like everything that happened in the past was God's will for my life. Everything that's currently happening in my life in the present is God's will. And whatever's going to happen in the future is going to be God's will for my life. And I think the challenge, we talked a little bit in our share group today, you know, one of the questions was, you know, the areas of our life that we don't have, you know, where we don't have control. I mean, you know, what does that look like? And, you know, I mentioned Joshua. You know, God told Joshua he was going to give him the promised land. But Joshua still had to go and fight. You know, God just didn't give it to them. It just didn't fall down. Joshua and his men had to go fight. And I think that's the rub where I'm at in my life now. I had mentioned before to some of the guys, Joshua 1:9 is a verse that I've been thinking about a lot lately, which says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be discouraged, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I'm trying to figure out, as a 68-year-old man living in Katy, Texas in 2026, you know, how am I supposed to be strong and courageous in my life? You know, what is that going to look like for me? And I think a lot of it just kind of goes back to the things that I've talked about the last couple sessions. And I just look at other things in my life, and like work, like, you know, I mean, I really have no business skills. You know, I don't know how to do a PDF file. I'm not skilled in on a computer. I mean, I know how to use a computer. I don't do spreadsheets. I don't know how to do any of these things. I'm not mechanically inclined. You know, there's guys in here that are plumbers and electricians, and I mean, I don't have any of those types of skills. You know, but I sit here in my life, and I think that I'm, you know, God willing, I'm going to retire at the end of the year. And I'm trying to figure out how all that God provided income for me my whole life. You know, Rick Shelton always said I was a schmoozer. All I really did was try to build relationships with people. At some point in my life, I mentioned, you know, I would fly to California in the morning, fly back in the afternoon. I was just all about getting the order. You know, when you're young, you're just trying to get the order. And then I came into this group of men, and I remember one day Jay told me, he probably doesn't remember, we were at a retreat somewhere, and he said, Craig, you need to get God to fund your get God to fund your ministry. And then in typical Jay fashion, he just walked away. I'm like, what the heck's that mean, Jay? You know, what does that mean? Well, I realized what he was telling me was basically, hey, just trust God with your business. You know, focus on your ministry. And I really think Jesus summed it up and made it easy for us in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, they were always trying to trick Jesus and question Jesus. And one of them asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So I think he really summed up the Bible for us in that verse, because if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four verses are about loving God. Well, how can you love somebody that you don't know? So you have to come to know God if you're going to love him. And then the next six commandments are how we treat each other. You know, try to treat each other the way we want to be treated. And so I feel like that's along this pathway of my life, I began to do that in the business world. Instead of trying to get an order from a guy, I just tried to build a relationship with the guy, and then I would miraculously watch God bring business to the company that I worked for. And I really didn't have any skills. I just built the relationships with people, and the people with the skills that were doing the quotes and delivering the material, they kind of did all the hard work. And the same thing happened to me with the game of golf. You know, I was a good athlete. I started playing golf when I was 28 years old. I wasn't very good. I didn't have enough money for lessons, and I had too much pride to take lessons at that stage of my life. And when I first started playing, you know, I told a couple of my friends that didn't really know my background that, you know, my goal was to become a scratch golfer, and they laughed at me. You know, but I was determined to become a scratch golfer, and I did. And I realize now that that God has granted me one of the desires of my heart. In that when I was a kid, my dream was to be a Major League Baseball player or a professional athlete. And that didn't happen, but that really wasn't the desire of my heart. I just loved hitting a ball and kicking a ball and shooting a ball. And so not only did I become a scratch golfer, my son and I, back in 2010, we were the father and son state champions for the state of Texas. So if you would have told me when I was 25 years old that I was going to be even playing golf, I would have laughed at you because I wasn't even playing golf when I was 25 years old. And then when I was in my early 50s, I was a state champion with my son, of all people, to win a championship with one of my siblings. And so I can't really, how could I take credit for any of this? And the amazing thing, the most amazing thing about golf is that the Lord paid for it for the last 32 years. And I joined Pine Forest Country Club in 1994, and the company I was working for me joined me and you know, bought me the membership and paid for the membership. And they every company I worked for, except for about 6 months when I got laid off, the Lord paid for my golf the whole time that I've been playing golf. And even I've been with this company now for the same guy hired me 22 years ago. Even when I was interviewing with him, he said, you're a member of Pine Forest Country Club. And I said, yes. He said, yeah, we'll take care of that. Joe Fletcher. He said, we'll take care of that. So I didn't even have to negotiate it. And so sports and the love of sports were always a desire of my heart. And the Lord has allowed me not only to play it, but to play it at a high level and to be a champion at it at the same time. And there's just really no explanation other than the grace of God that I can come up with, because I didn't even start playing golf till I was 28 years old, let alone know that I was going to fall in love with it and be able to do it still as a 68-year-old man. So I just have a lot of, we had the verse up there, and I mean, that verse has really played a big part in my life, and I can look and areas of my life, my relationships. I have failures. I've been divorced twice. I told Rick, I said, Rick, man, I just don't know how to pick women. And he said, you have a broken picker. So that was Rick's advice to me. So I've had failures in my life. I've had successes. And I think the thing that I really want to focus on is finishing strong. You know, I have a quote here from Walt Hendrickson that I read a few years ago that really struck me. He said that reason argues that you determine your standard of living on earth and God determines it in heaven. Revelation says the opposite. God determines your standard of living on earth, and you determine it in heaven. So as I'm somewhere toward the end of my life in the fourth, third period or the final quarter, and, my focus really wants to be on, my standard of living in heaven. You know, when we were in our small group, what did you say Elon Musk was worth?
Like 891.
Yeah. 890 billion, not 90 billion, right? 800.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? You know what I mean? And everyone just thinks Elon's a genius, but, and he is, but, yeah, that's right. This is God determined that Elon was going to be in this position for some reason. You know, I really don't know the answer. And the other thing that that Walt said in that same devotional, he said, the uneven distribution of gifts, abilities, and opportunities ensure our dependence on God. The uneven distribution of gifts, abilities, and opportunities ensure our dependence on God. And so this is where I'm at right now in my life. men. And I think the final thing I really want to say is just how I've just been blessed to be in with a group of men like the men that are in this room. Tobias, who's a lot of you know, he's one of my Timothys. And last year, there's a guy that he's building a relationship with named Ken. And Ken struggling in his life, and he was talking to Tobias. And Tobias called me up, and he happened to be coming by my house. And he came by, and we were talking about it, and he said that this guy is saying he doesn't have anybody in his life, you know, that he can really talk to. And you know, that's the reality with most men. You know, they don't really have people in their life that they can talk to. And I said, T, look at us, man. I mean, how many people right now, if you want to go talk to and have an open, transparent conversation in your life because of this group of men, can you go talk to? And how fortunate we are to be part of this group of men. You know, we're not the only group of men. You know, we're not the best group of men. We're not the greatest group of men, but you know, just being part of this group of men has been a real blessing. And I think I mentioned it that, you know, I would argue that accepting Jesus Christ, I don't even know how you could rank things, but meeting Jesus was the, you know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. But then, you know, meeting Dave and Dave imparting into me and teaching me how to feed myself spiritually and bringing me into this group of men has probably been the next greatest blessing in my life, besides my kids and, you know, wives and things like that. But so yeah, that's where I'm at. And the final thing, I remember Kevin Ring said this, and I'm trying to manipulate this thought into my mind. Kevin Ring a few years ago said, "Don't manipulate God's word into your life. Manipulate your life into God's word." Don't manipulate your life. Don't manipulate God's word into your life. Manipulate your life into God's word. And I thought about that a lot, you know, because the reality is that each one of us, myself included, we're as close to God as we want to be. We're the ones that determine what our relationship with the Creator is going to be. He never changes. He's always the same. So it's really up to us. And, you know, do I really trust God? And, you know, if I don't trust God, why am I not trusting God? So it really comes down to me as an individual. And I've also realized that my relationship with the Lord is not based on it's not based on what I can do for Him. It's what He does for me. You know, there's nothing. I mean, what can I do to help God along? I can't help God do anything. And he's the one that helps me along. So, anyhow, I would say that this is where I'm at in my life right now. And I'm just thankful to be with you guys. And I'm thankful that you took the time to listen to what I had to say this weekend. So thank you very much. Sure.